come by yesterday and get hot dogs and a lot of other stuff. And they made out like gangbusters. So today we're going to talk about the day death died. Let's look together to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 53. Actually, I'm going to back it up a little bit. I'm going to start at verse 50. It says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself as imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying is that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing when you read that passage and notice that death has a sting, but we want to know where it is now. We want to look at it. It was a very hot day way back, 1924. Calvin Coolidge was president. He was in the White House on that particular day. It was a very hot day, but his son was playing tennis without socks on. A blister came up, and it burst. Blood poisoning set in. It infected him, and he died. That's a tragedy. The President of the United States and his wife were both there, but they were not powerful enough to be able to stop death. The ultimate experience of all humanity is helplessness before the onslaught of death. Think about that for a minute. The onslaught of death. Death, where's your sting? It's just about everywhere. We have a lot of death that has happened during this pandemic, a lot of death that has been going on around us. We have church members who have died, family members who have died. We have people all around us who have died. And it's been a very difficult time. And we make it sound a lot worse than it was, but it's bad. And it's bad. And it's bad. Well, we look at that, and I'm going to tell you, there's a story to be told. I've asked two of my friends to give a testimony today, and I'm going to cue that up right now. That's my kind.
Driving home, I passed across beside the highway. Got me thinking about a friend. Looking back, he'd barely started living. Don't seem fair the way things went. Ain't no doubt he touched a lot of people. The little while he spent down here breaks your heart. You ask what would have happened if he had only had a few more years. 33, that's all he had. Sure is short, sure is sad. He didn't get much time cut down. But what he did with him. changed mine. Down to earth, country boy worked with his dad. Give you the shirt right off his back. And he loved going fishing with his buddies. Should have had more time for stuff like. Gave him a trial he couldn't win. Hung him up on the cross and called it over. But his story didn't end. At 33.
Gentlemen, for that testimony. I appreciate that. Good song. Actually, when we look at this and recognize that every one of us is touched by death one way or another. As a matter of fact, death is just it. It is there. It is a sting. It hurts. But 22 centuries ago, Easter, death died. That's the thing that we carry home with us. Death died 22 centuries ago. It didn't die of natural causes like you would think that it might. No, it did not. Guess what? It didn't die that way. Someone took death by the neck and literally squeezed the life out of it. That's the way death died. You think about that for a minute, maybe we just stop and consider that next week, next Sunday, all across the globe, everywhere, preachers are going to encourage people to celebrate the fact that death is dead. And it is the day that we celebrate the resurrection. This week, there's a whole lot more to it, isn't there? Whenever they do that, we find out that they will announce next week, death is dead. Well, would you like to play like we're Sherlock Holmes and maybe try to figure out how death died? That's what I'm going to do. You can sleep if you want to, but that's what I'm going to do. Question is, who is responsible for this death? You know, if you go to court, you got to have an answer. Who is it? Who did it? Who did it? According to the New Testament, guess what? That's the historical document that we go to. Jesus Christ did it. Jesus Christ killed death. It's just like that. John 1:1 says this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And in all of that, he was part of all that was created. Then in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus was there from the start, and he was born right into our world, and he took charge of all of that. Then Philippians 2:9 says that he has a name that is above every other name, period. Jesus Christ. There's not another name anywhere that can measure up to that one, period. Doesn't matter what they did with the cross. It was a horrible thing, but they didn't win. They did not. Colossians 1:15 says that he is the image of the invisible God. We can't see God, but guess what? When you see Jesus, you see God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all one. Three parts, three personalities, or I don't know how God does it. There's only one. We have one God, and Jesus Christ is how he presents himself to us. Hebrews 12:2, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher, beginning and the end. Well, he says that in Revelation 1:8 too. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Now, that's pretty fancy words when you say it. But he's the A to Z. That's what that is. He covers all the words. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the beginning of everything and the end of everything. That's who Jesus is. He is the one who did it. Death is dead as the result of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus is responsible for that. Well, when? That's the next question you ask when you want to explore it. When in the world did that happen? When did Jesus put death to death? He did that on that Easter morning, on the resurrection morning. He put it to death then, that first Easter. That's exactly when it happened. Boy, I'll tell you, you think about that when you discover that. Now, his resurrection is not the first blow against death. It is the last blow. It is the final blow. It's over. When Jesus did that, we understand we had Palm Sunday. Boy, that was a happy day, wasn't it? The King of Kings is riding in. Yay, Hosanna. Oh, whoa, we're gonna really celebrate that he is coming. But by the end of the week, they were all shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. That's a long week when you look at that. And, you know, on Palm Sunday, there was a tomb ahead. There was a grave ahead. Nature literally shuddered because God himself in form of a son would be crucified. The nature shuddered, but the disciples, they wept. The Pharisees, what were they doing? They gloated. And what was death doing? Death did a victory dance over the grave of Jesus Christ. Well, it was short-lived. Jesus danced on death's grave on Easter Sunday. He was doing the dance. And I guarantee you, the Pharisees had the smile wiped off their face. And everything changed. And so you look at that and just recognize death is dead and Jesus is responsible. So how did he do it? It's pretty simple. Sounds simple whenever we talk about it. It's hard when you do it. He took the finality out of death is what he did. Death is rooted by two factors. First of all, there's the mystery of death. Secondly, there is the finality of death. We listen to this and we recognize the mystery. What in the world does that mean? Death is a mystery. I tell you what you can look at whenever you close the casket and for the last time, you can't get out. You just can't get out. It's like a room with no windows, no doors. You're just stuck in it. So what did Jesus do? Well, he took that finality out. There was the finality, says, there is no exit. Jesus removed that. Now, many people around us, there are a lot of people, even in Shady Shores, that don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in life after death. They think that when you die, you're just dead. Boy, it doesn't matter where you sprinkle the ashes. It doesn't make any difference. God knows where you put it all. As you think about that, heard a wife said that her husband does not believe that life is even after supper. You just can't have life after supper. And so we say there's no life after death. Well, Easter came. And there was life after death. That empty tomb was a tremendous exclamation point from God. There's life after death. He literally experienced death. Jesus did. He died. I'll assure you, they would not have buried him if he weren't dead. He was dead. But on the third day, that stone couldn't hold him back, and he was risen. And when we look at that, that takes care of the finality of death. Once we die, we're not coming back here. And you know, I have things to do with my kids that I just really would like to supervise. And I know a lot of you are looking at me saying, hey, guy, you're 80. You're going to die before I do. I'm hanging on for a long time, guys. But you know, no matter how long you hang on, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. You can hang on as long as you want to, but sooner or later, the tomb is going to get you. Death comes. Once we die, we can't come back, but Jesus did. And the Bible says that he is the first fruit of those who have died. He's the first fruit. Death is dead to all Christians for all time. So we can celebrate, starting with Palm Sunday, we can celebrate that death is dead. So what difference does it make if death is dead? Do you remember the name, or maybe you've never heard the name, Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Some of you say, yeah, I know who that was. He lived next door. No, he didn't. He was a preacher way back in Germany time when the Third Reich was in charge. He was a preacher put in jail. He really was given a hard time, and when it looked like that he might accidentally get out, they hanged him. They wanted to be sure this guy died. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer died. But here's what he wrote before they got to him. This is a note from him. This is the end, but not for me. Did anybody live next door to D.L. Moody? Do any of you know who D.L. Moody was? Well, some of you know a little bit about him. He was a powerful preacher. He was not highly educated, but boy, he was a powerful preacher. And when he preached, everybody listened and changed. And he brought a revival to our country. That was a long time ago. D.L. Moody said, one day you're going to read in the paper that D.L. Moody has died. Don't you believe it? I'll be more alive then than I ever will be. I'll be more alive than I am today. wrap this up, you've got to remember that every one of us will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, I look at that and I hear it. The shadow can't hurt you, but it can almost make you hurt yourself. The shadow of death. We will, every one of us, unless the Lord comes, every one of us will walk through that. Thing is, as a Christian, we don't get stuck in it. We walk all the way through. That's the thing that is most important for us to know. We don't know when. We don't know why. You know, I don't think I've ever buried anybody that was 120. But I've buried several people who were over 100. And I've buried a lot of people in their 90s. But I've also buried a baby a couple of times. That's hard. I've buried children. Ages don't matter. You can go from age 1 to age 120 if you want to. You just drag out however, whatever number you want to. You're still going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Period. That's where we're headed. And you and I know that, and I realize I'm 80 and I might be in front of some of you. I'll take my turn when the time comes. I'm just putting it off as long as I can. And you know, spending everything I can and half of what you're sending in, because I get Medicare, ha, ha, ha. And I see all the doctors I need to see, and I have too many that surround me. I don't want to die. I'm not looking forward to it. My cat doesn't want me to die. My wife doesn't want me to die. That's debatable. Exactly. And you know, we can go on with that. I can tell you, I bet I could put 50 people's names on there that would be debatable about it. Death is a part of life. That's what we are. And that's what Palm Sunday is about. We can celebrate Hosanna, the King, but we need to remember that He is the risen King. And we will stick with Him all the way through. And so we Christians will walk all the way through to the other side, and we will be more alive there than we are here. And you know, it's going to be wonderful to a place where you don't have to have Medicare. And I guess they have doctors, but they'll be out of work. That's okay. That's okay. And so the scripture says, O death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we prepare this week. We think about all that we face and all that faces us. Let's look forward to the resurrection day. Next Sunday, we celebrate it. And let's celebrate it together, starting at 7:30. Let's do it. And I'm going to give you an invitation this morning. If you have any decision that you need to make, I'm going to invite you to come. If you want to come to the altar and pray, you can. If you want to join our church, you can. If you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, I'll be glad to sit here and help you. Whatever you need, whatever is on your heart today, what God wants from you. Let's celebrate the risen Jesus Christ, because He is our Lord of Lords and our King of Kings, and we are dependent totally upon Him.